I Love My Job. That's by Harry Styles, and you are tuned to Travel Writers Radio. Well, Love My Job is an occasional segment on Travel Writers Radio designed to inspire young people to explore different jobs in the hospitality and travel industry. London has the eye, Singapore has the flyer, Las Vegas has the high roller, and Melbourne has the star observation wheel. At Docklands at the weekend, there were celebrations to mark the 1 millionth passenger boarding the star. In hosting the event was TV celebrity Katrina Rowntree, who had a chat with our roving reporter Veronica Matheson about why she loves her job.
Katrina, it's terrific to catch up with you today, and we're at the Melbourne Star. Now, I know you love your job, and I wanted to talk to you about that because on J-Air, on Travel Writers Radio, we do have a special segment on I Love My Job. Tell me about your job.
Well, I suppose the simple joy for me is to be the conduit to share other people's stories. So I adore having a chat. Unfortunately, when I was at school, I was on permanent detention for talking. I was always in trouble. But I had one headmaster who believed in me, and he said, one day you could get paid to do that. You never know, you never know.
He was a smart cookie.
I had another teacher who said, you will never amount to anything because you cannot physically stop talking. So be careful who you listen to, I suppose, is one lesson, but also make your passion your profession. And in my case, I get to chat to people now and be paid to do that and do it all around the world. So it really is a pleasure.
And another passion is travel.
Absolutely, but I never thought that I'd really have the opportunity to do a lot of it. Because I was always in trouble at school, I thought, well, I'll never get the marks to go and study communications at university. I'll just have to start at the bottom of the industry and work my way up. All my friends went and did a year of travelling overseas, and I just had to stay back and do work experience. And, you know, who knew that a show like Getaway would come into my world? I never, ever thought something like that would happen to a girl like me. And I can honestly say, truly, if I can do it, anyone can do it. So I never went to uni, not a model, don't know anybody famous, but I just can't stop talking.
How did you get in touch with Getaway?
I begged. And it's a very, very difficult job to fill because you had to move to Sydney and you had to be prepared to travel for 42 weeks of the year. And for a young person, particularly one who's left their home, left their family, it was very, very difficult to find someone to fill that role. But I was living with my family around the corner. Around the corner from head office, so it was as easy as pie.
Can you remember your first overseas trip?
Yes, it was for work, for Getaway. It was to Egypt and Greece, and then I finished off with a little trip to Indonesia at the end of it. And some people can't believe that I was on the road for that long, but when you're a single chick in your 20s and someone offers you that, you just grab it by both hands.
Oh, wouldn't you? I mean, and great destinations too.
I have to admit that I'm happy wherever I'm sent. In my case, because I know I'll always meet somebody amazing. And as I say, that's the joy of what I do, just uncovering these extraordinary characters, these wonderful stories. And as you would know with travel, more often than not, you are meeting people who are living life on their own terms, who are more often than not in a pretty darn good mood. So that makes it a wonderful role as well.
Have you ever had any bad experiences
all
when you've been away?
Oh my gosh, kids. Everybody always wants me to dump on locations, but it's not that. You can have a bad experience in your own neighbourhood, let alone one abroad. But certainly, I've been mugged a few times. Mm-hmm. I've had a terrible bug bite that made my face blow up. Not good. Not good when you're a TV presenter. Not good at all. And you've got no idea what's bitten you, so you have no idea, is my face going to have elephantitis for the rest of my life? I got through it, by the way. And, there are always things that go wrong, but certainly for me, I've learnt this concept. There's always another plane.
And are there places that you love going back to?
Oh, most definitely. I love to go back to the Cook Islands and meet the locals there. Look, I'm going to be really honest with you. I love to go back anywhere. I now have two very talkative children and I live on a very quiet farm. Honestly, when my boss calls and says, do you want to go away? Yes!
There'll come a time when the children will want to go too.
Oh, they join me all the time, actually.
Oh, terrific.
Yeah, they absolutely adore it. They're fantastic travellers too. So that's a little perk that I love.
tips for travelling, tips when you're going on a long-haul flight.
Never take away anything that you would be upset to lose. Make sure that your passport has a good 6 months before expiry. Before you leave the door, I have to say my father-in-law went away on a big trip, lo and behold, to Egypt, Greece and Israel just last night. I looked at him and I said, right, passport with the expiry worked out. Have you got your money, your wallet, and make sure that you've got it on an inside zipped pocket, and does he have a photocopy of his passport as well? And travel light. Don't take away clothes that need to be ironed. Try and stick to three colours. And when you are away and you see something you love, just buy it. That's my policy. You'll never be back. Just buy it.
And also when you get back, you think, oh, I wish I had got that.
Yeah, I've only ever had that once, and it was such a deep regret that I just thought, you know what? The bank manager will understand. The bills will get paid somehow. I just don't want that regret.
What was the regret?
It was a beefeater's hat, actually. I did a story on Portobello Road in London. Isn't that sad? I can remember it so easily. I'm just a big shopper, big, big shopper. And I saw in one of the markets a beef eater's hats, and I actually collect crazy hats from the locations that I've gone to. If you are collecting on your travels, try to stick to one thing. In my case, it's unique hats from particular destinations.
How many have you got?
Probably about 20, and they're crazy. They're out there. They're from the hill tribes of Bhutan right through to a beautiful bonnet from the Cotswolds that's several hundred years old. I adore it, but geez, I wish I got that beef eater's hat.
That's another trip you have to do. I'm sure they've still got them.
Straight back to that store.
And when you're travelling on a long trip, I mean, how do you pack? I mean, are you one of these people that can just take on carry-on luggage?
No, because I'm filming. So I do my research. I know precisely what I'll need, where I'm going. And for me, and I recommend other people doing this, about a week or so before I go, I slowly start to put out the things that I would like to take. And then maybe you won't take these shoes. Don't forget to take that belt. Maybe I'll add this. Maybe I'll take away that. But I always try to dress respectfully, and that's something that I would advise all travellers. Once you leave your front door, let's just agree on that. You really do need to dress with respect, particularly in religious locations. So I always try to make sure I take a wrap, preferably a wool wrap, because a wool wrap breathes so well, and you can use it to cover a pillow on the plane or as a pillow on the plane, and definitely to dress with respect when you're away as well. So I never take anything that needs to be ironed, and I always try to make sure that I have, in my case, the locations that I'm going to all covered.
And where are you off to next, do you know?
I've got some good ones. I've got the Bahamas, I've got Disneyland, and I'm taking my children. I've never been there. I'm off to Normandy, going along the Seine, and then I think I'll have a little trip to Dubai as well.
You're having a busy year already.
Yeah, well, I suppose that's what I do. And for some other people, it's a little bit difficult to comprehend. I just don't have normal hours, but I've just done a big chunk of work, and now I've got 2 weeks to annoy my children and to be with them. And I think from the outside looking in, it's very easy to judge, but I feel very blessed to have the job that I have, and particularly now that I have a family.
Terrific, Katrina. It's lovely to talk to you, and happy travelling.
Veronica Matheson with Katrina Rowntree, who obviously loves her job, and so many of us are jealous at just all the destinations that she was listing that she was about to go to in the next couple of months.
Lucky girl.
I know. How lucky you were to talk to her as well and just catch a glimpse of her life. Veronica also captured some comments from passengers aboard the Melbourne Star this week.
Were you looking forward to coming on this ride today?
Yes, I definitely was.
And what did you expect to see?
Well, I expected to see a very big view, which is what I'm seeing.
And how about you? What did you expect to see?
I'm more expected to see just a big view and to see everything from so high above.
Did you think it was going to be faster than this?
Yes, I did. I thought it was going to be a little bit faster, but it's a bit more peaceful.
Do you like it going slower and being a little bit more peaceful?
Yeah, I do, because I need more time to look at everything.
And it's not so jerky either, is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all very slow and a great way to pass the time. You could bring a picnic on board almost,
yeah.
Couldn't you?
Yeah.
Do you know where we are?
Well, we have the Balti Bridge right here, and we have a beautiful view of the West Gate. And I'm just hearing all about the history of Victoria and the amount of Chinese that were first here in 1700s. It's a wonderful commentary I'm listening to. I think it's lovely. I'm really enjoying it.
Yes, you certainly don't expect to get the history as well as the landmarks.
No.
What do you think of the view?
I think the views are amazing. It's a very different way to see Melbourne, and I didn't expect to see so much.
Had you been on board before?
No, I haven't. This is the first time, and it's better than I expected.
And it happens to be a beautiful day, doesn't it?
Beautiful day. Very lucky it's not raining and grey. So we've got beautiful blue skies, and it's a wonderful view.
And you've got another excuse to go on it and see it on a rainy day.
Well, that's exactly right. A whole different experience.
And at night time there are lights too, so you'd see the city lights, you'd see the bay lights.
Yeah, that would be dazzling. I'm looking forward to that one.
It is quite different though, day to night on the Melbourne Star. And I think there's a whole trick to it where you try to get on board so that it times, so that you see half your travel is to see it sunset, catch the sunset, and then it goes into night when you see all the lights starting to turn on.
Oh, that's a good tip.
I know. It's just a timing has to work out. It depends on how many people in front of you in the queue. So it's rather tricky. That was Veronica Matheson, by the way, speaking to passengers aboard the Melbourne Star this week.